Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to the Eagles Draft Central Preview Show presented by Deaton Watson. We are set to provide wall-to-wall coverage of the 2017 NFL Draft, which is taking place right here in the city of brotherly love for the first time since 1961. Today, we'll get you set with an exclusive one-on-one interview with Vice President of Player Personnel Joe Douglas, and we'll preview the positions the Eagles might attack in this year's draft. But tomorrow night, the festivities really get going at 7:30 p.m. as we'll be live for the entire first round and have exclusive coverage from the Eagles draft room, which you won't get anywhere else, as well as the Ben Franklin Parkway where the draft is taking place. Now, the man who's going to help set everything up, former Eagles linebacker, Pro Bowl selection, a member of the 2004 NFC Championship team, and the 142nd pick of the 1998 NFL Draft, none other than Ike Reese. Ike, are you ready?
I am ready, Chris. Always exciting this time of the year, the NFL Draft. Football fans everywhere get pumped up for this. This basically signals the beginning of the 2017 season. So I'm excited, ready to roll.
So Ike, you're a co-host on the Colin Reese Show, afternoons on Sports Radio 94 WIP. So you're taking the pulse of the fans day in and day out, and you know what they want to see the Eagles do in the draft, but we want to know some of your hot names. We have a running back, Christian McCaffrey, out of Stanford.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford, running back out of Stanford, is obviously a guy that's climbing up the boards. His versatility is what teams are excited about when they look at Christian McCaffrey. Some questions about his size, I don't worry about that. This is a guy that I believe can shoulder the load. You want to give him the ball 18, 20 plus times a game, whether it's through the run or the pass. I think he's an ultimate weapon in that facet. And more importantly, when I look at how he fits with the Eagles, this is the type of back that you want in this offense, in the mode of a Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook 2.0, Darren Sproles, that type of player. To me, Christian McCaffrey, if he's there at 14 tomorrow night, he's the guy.
That's the key. Will he be there at 14? Any concern about the fact that he had almost 600 carries in the last 2 years?
No, I'm actually encouraged by that, because one of the big question marks on Christian McCaffrey is his durability. Can he handle a heavy workload? And the fact that he's had the ball over 600 times in the last 2 years and really hasn't sustained any major injuries, I'm encouraged by that with Christian McCaffrey.
All right, your second player on your wish list, a wide receiver, Corey Davis from Western Michigan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A little bit of a mysterious pick right here. Teams don't know whether they want to be high on Corey Davis. The production is certainly there. You're talking about a guy who's gotten better each year that he played at Western Michigan, from his freshman year to his senior year, ending up his career as the best receiver in college football history. If you just go by the numbers, I love the fact that he can run an X receiver position, a Z receiver position. You can even put him in the slot. He's a tough receiver. The run after the catch is another thing that I love about him. And let's just face it, when you're the number one guy on a team like that, you're going to see double and triple team coverage. Corey Davis had no problem producing week in and week out. And that's the other thing I love about him. Didn't miss a game his whole college career.
No, 50 games, 50 starts, 5,285 receiving yards, 31 touchdowns over the last 2 years alone. Number three, and of course Ike's got to go defense, and he's got to go to his home at linebacker, Reuben Foster, the talented but troubled prospect from the Crimson Tide of Alabama.
Yeah, what's wrong with a little crazy? That's what us linebackers are all about, right? Whether it's inside or outside, Reuben Foster can fill that void for you at the linebacker position. All I can tell you to do is turn on the video and watch number 10. You see a different type of football player. And this is a guy that's playing on a college football team that features 4- and 5-star recruits at just about every position. Reuben Foster, you notice him when he's on the field with Alabama. He brings pain when he delivers a hit. This guy has bad intentions when he gets to a ball carrier. Not since a guy like Jeremiah Trotter has roamed our linebacking core. A guy like Reuben Foster, I would love it if the Eagles were to select him tomorrow at 14.
Ike, are we trying to bring back 2004? We've got you here in studio comparing McCaffrey to Westbrook and now Foster to Jeremiah Trotter, the Axeman. It would be great to have one of them in Midnight Green. So those are Ike's three names on his wish list. How many players are the Eagles potentially prepared to select on Thursday night? We're going to hear from the man who set up the draft board, Joe Douglas, up next on Eagles Draft Central, the preview show presented by Deaton Watson.
New pass every month? That's old news. Switch to the reloadable, replaceable, reusable SEPTA key. Visit iSEPTAPhilly.com for info.
I've been an athlete for as long as I can remember. In the summer, I was taking a long bike ride, and when I looked up, a tree had fallen across the shoulder of the road. And when I came to, I couldn't feel anything below my neck, and I thought my life had changed forever. I was helivacked to Jefferson Hospital, and the Rothman doctors did an emergency procedure and fused the vertebrae in my spine. Now I'm back on the bike, I'm enjoying myself, and it's all thanks to the Rothman doctors at Jefferson.
There's just mass amount of data in this business. Trey Brown, director of college scouting. You know, you got to have a powerful laptop. We're trying to find the prospects who can compete on the professional level. See how he drops his hips? You look at the athleticism, the speed, the explosiveness. We're on the field, in the classroom. The Surface Pro allows us to be everywhere.
One guy that really caught my attention.
I can write right on the screen. I couldn't do that on a Mac. At the end of the day, we're trying to find the players that are going to give us the opportunity to win championships.
Ta-ta tokens, the SEPTA Key travel wallet is here. Visit iSEPTAPhilly.com to meet the less jingly way to pay.
Joe Douglas has been in the NFL since 2000 when he was a player personnel assistant with the Baltimore Ravens. He's rose the ranks of the scouting ladder, and now he's the vice president of player personnel for the Philadelphia Eagles. He joined the team last May, and as he prepares for his first draft here in Philadelphia, Joe Douglas spoke with Eagles insider Dave Spadaro about what it takes to build a consistent winner in the NFL and how he will define success by this weekend's performance.
Joe, you've been here for almost a year. You've put the board together. You've had this very significant impact. I think fans want to know exactly the role that you've had to this point, and what role will you have on draft weekend?
You know, the role that I've had to this point, it's been a unique role coming in a new position, being involved in the pro side of scouting with unrestricted free agency, and then helping to put together the draft board, putting together the draft board through our process with our scouts, our coaches, analytics. It's been a great process, really been facilitating information and trying to stack the board so that we have the best board for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Joe, then, you've learned a lot about the whole process of putting a roster together. How have you done?
Hopefully, when we turn the card in on Thursday night, everybody's going to be high-fiving. We'll all be happy. And I think we're at that point in the process. We're still meeting as a group, meeting with Jeffrey and meeting with Doug and Andy Weidel and Tom Donahoe. So I think the end result is going to be a great result.
On Thursday night, Joe, the Eagles pick 14th after winning the coin flip to move up from 15. As you lay out your board and consider all of your scenarios, are there 14 really good football players there? Will Eagles fans be happy with what happens on Thursday night?
You know, I think worst case scenario, and I think worst case scenario is still going to be a great scenario because I think there's 14 players in this draft that everyone in our organization would be excited to acquire.
And Joe, when you say you want to add an impact player, are you talking about drafting and filling a need for the Eagles or just bringing in a good football player to help this team?
You know, we need to keep adding good football players. Needs change on a year-to-year basis. And we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to let the board come to us, and we're going to have an opportunity to get a great player. It could be from any possible position that's going to come in here, be a great teammate, and be a difference maker for this team.
Joe, when you step back and just big picture here, 7-9 season in 2016, an off season that includes adding players like Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith and Chance Warmack, when you step back and look at things, what do you see with this roster?
We're excited about the future with this team, and I think Doug's big point of emphasis as the guys got back together is we're going to have fun and we're going to compete. You know, and we've got a group of guys that are resilient. And I think some of the new additions that we brought onto the team, guys like Chris Long, guys like Timmy Jernigan acquired through draft, guys like Torrey Smith, guys like Alshon Jeffrey, guys that have been through the fires of the NFL, guys that have won at the highest level, guys that are resilient and tough-minded. They're going to add to the fabric of this team and make us a lot better.
Joe, the idea here is to win not only in 2017, but to have sustained success. So with that in mind, how important is this draft weekend?
Draft weekend is the key to sustained success. Our guys, our scouts have put in so much work, headed up by Andy Weidel and Anthony Patch and Trey Brown, go down the list. Our guys have done so much work leading up to this point. We've gotten so much good information on players. Having successful drafts, and not only first, second, third round, but in day three and then even after the draft, you'll notice that the best teams in the league, they've been able to have consistent drafts, and that's why they've sustained success.
Joe, I'm a big Eagles fan. I'm sitting here and I'm going, in the backfield, Ryan Matthews is hurt. I don't know what his situation is going to be. I see Connor Barwin gone and Chris Long in, and I wonder how much gas he has left in his tank. Can you answer those two questions?
I'm not going to go into the exact injury with Ryan Matthews because that's not my expertise, but everything that I've heard, we're excited about him coming back at full strength. And Chris Long, we did a lot of work on Chris throughout the unrestricted free agent process. Dwayne Joseph and his staff, our director of pro scouting, have done a tremendous amount of work. And we feel, and after talking with Chris, a person that still has so much passion for the game, and if you watch his tape from last year and watch the play snap percentage that he played, he still has a lot to give.
Joe, you've got 8 picks in 7 rounds. What will, in your mind, constitute a really successful weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Successful weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles is going to be adding as many difference makers as we can to this team throughout the draft, whether it's the first round, fifth round, seventh round, and post-draft.
Douglas had some very interesting things to say about the state of the roster, as well as defensive end Chris Long in particular. Now, Douglas said the Eagles need to get playmakers regardless of position this weekend, but what are the positions that the Eagles should focus on? Ike and I will discuss that after the break here on the Eagles Draft Preview Show presented by Deetz and Watson.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Are you feeling all right, baby?
You feel better about the food on your table when you know the meat is sourced from family farmers and is spiced using handcrafted seasonings. That's why our family is proud to provide the variety you want at your deli, including no antibiotics ever and organic meats. This is what we were founded on. Because at Deetz and Watson, we've always believed in quality above all else.
There's just mass amount of data in this business. Trey Brown, director of college scouting. You know, you got to have a powerful laptop. We're trying to find the prospects who can compete on the professional level. See how he drops his hips? You look at the athleticism, the speed, the explosiveness. We're on the field, in the classroom. The Surface Pro allows us to be everywhere.
One guy that really caught my attention.
I can write right on the screen. I couldn't do that on a Mac. At the end of the day, we're trying to find the players that are going to give us the opportunity to win championships.
Eagles Draft Central is presented by Deetz and Watson, proudly prepared in Philadelphia since 1939. Ike, I think you would agree that cornerback is a position that the Eagles need to shore up, especially after losing last year's starters, Leotis McKelvin and Nolan Carroll, this offseason. Now, it's considered a very deep group at the cornerback position, something that's highly unusual. So to look at the prospects in depth, let's go inside the film room and welcome in NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell and Fran Duffy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome inside for the final edition of the Film Room series with myself and Greg Cosell. I'm Fran Duffy, and we're going to continue breaking down this draft class, Greg, in our final edition of the Film Room with probably the number one position on Eagles fans' minds, the cornerback spot. And let's start here with this first question. What does Jim Schwartz look for in a corner based off what you've seen of him in film study?
If you go back a year ago, okay, the Eagles play both man and zone, and it was pretty much split. So, for instance, when they play with two high safeties, they play predominant zone coverage. When they play with a single high safety, they play almost all man coverage percentage-wise. So you're looking at a defense, a Jim Schwartz defense, where you have to be able to play man quite a bit, and you have to be able to play zone quite a bit. There's not a foundational coverage that they play 70-80% of the time.
So with that in mind, we get into this cornerback class, which is just loaded with names. And it seems like this year, more so than other years, there are some really talented duos, and you look around the country.
Just before we get into that, I think the other thing that I've really noticed on film, and I don't know if you've noticed it, there's a lot more press in college now.
Yeah, and you see that with a lot of these bigger corners that we've seen coming out. And you look at that duo out in Washington, and we'll start there. You look at Sidney Jones, who obviously had the injury, ruptured his Achilles at his pro day, and Kevin King, who is an outstanding player in his own right. What do you see from those two players?
I feel so badly for Sidney Jones because the nature of that injury is such you have no idea. That's just a bad injury for a corner. Again, if I had to do a draft board, he might be my number one corner. I really liked Sidney Jones. But having said that, I found Kevin King to be fascinating. 6'3", he moved really well. He's not one of those just big guys like you think of big guys that, hey, they live on the corner just because they're big. I thought he was pretty fluid, and I really liked Kevin King.
So then let's go to Ohio State, another talented duo, Marshawn Lattimore and Garyon Conley, who, it's interesting, they have very similar skill sets, but kind of conflicting in some ways, too, because you look at Conley, a little bit better play recognition. I love some of the tape study plays that he made throughout his career were very impressive, whereas Lattimore probably has more athletic upside, but you like both players.
Yeah, I do, and I probably, maybe I'm in the minority. I like Lattimore. I wasn't gushing based on tape study. I thought Conley is actually a more interesting projection for this reason. He can play in the slot really effectively. Lattimore did not play in the slot. Conley played both sides. Lattimore pretty much played one side. I think Conley gives you far more versatility. I think to the interception he made against Mike Williams in the playoff game in college football this year, where he was in the slot. And to me, Conley, I just think he gives you more. And the Eagles, right now, I don't know who lines up in the slot for the Philadelphia Eagles, but Conley, I really like him as sort of a player that fits today's NFL with the amount of sub-package that teams play.
Yeah, one last duo we'll hit on, the two Florida corners. Quincy Wilson, Jalen Tabor, both players not known for their speed, and they haven't tested all that well throughout the pre-draft process. What did you see from them on
film? We're going to disagree on this, I think, based on previous conversation, but I liked Wilson more than Tabor on tape.
I like Tabor a little bit more.
And that's okay.
Yep.
But I really liked Wilson. I thought he was big, physical. I thought he actually did a pretty good job, and again, now you have to try to transition to the league, but I thought he did a pretty good job in press of being able to do, you know, what we call, you know, match and mirror press coverage, where he could match right at the line and then stay with the receiver throughout the route, because that's the concern with him because of so-called time speed. I thought he did a good job with that, and he's a big physical kid, so I liked him, but, you know, again, I think when you talk about zone corners, now you get into a whole bunch of things that guys have to be taught. And all these guys are going to have to be taught that because the route concepts are so much more sophisticated and detailed in the NFL than they are in college football.
Let's stay in the SEC for maybe my favorite corner in the draft. And I know he's not probably going to be the first one off the board. I love Tredavious White from LSU.
And
he's another guy who's played inside. He's played outside. He's a four-year starter down in the Bayou. What do you like at Tredavious White?
He's a great mirror and match corner. I mean, he's obviously maybe a little smaller than you like. So the question is, does he play on the outside? And that becomes, again, team and coach specific. Some guys might see a 184-pound corner and think he can't play on the outside in the NFL. I mean, we've seen, look, Jason Verrett came out of TCU a number of years ago, and he's an outside corner. I don't know if White's quite that guy, but I really like White. He's a master at that. Another guy who's similar to him, and I don't know if you're going to, you probably weren't going to mention his name, but I think the Wisconsin kid, who's even smaller, is similar to White in the way in which he plays.
Interesting. So Sojourn Shelton.
Sojourn Shelton, yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. So Desmond King, another guy, same conference as Shelton from the Big Ten, undersized. A lot of people say, oh, is he a slot corner? Is he a safety? How do you view Desmond King?
Corner.
I think he is too.
And I think he's really good with zone coverage. I think he has a great feel for route concepts, pattern recognition, how to see all that. And don't forget, he played a ton in the slot when they played man.
Yep.
So he has a lot of experience playing man-to-man in the slot. In fact, I went back and looked at all of his interceptions. A good number of them came when he played man-to-man in the slot.
So when you look at some of these other corners that can play man coverage, Cordray Tankersley from Clemson, they put a ton of press man down there. What do you think of Cordray
Tankersley? Yeah, and he's going to need to be taught a lot. great physical tools,
yes,
a lot to work with, very, very handsy, which they allow in college way more than they do in the NFL. The question is, how can you get that out of him? Because if he starts touching and grabbing receivers beyond 5 yards in the NFL, they look for that.
I think so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then one last player, Rasul Douglas from West Virginia, a one-year starter there. Yeah. What have you seen from Douglas?
Another guy with a lot of tools that you probably like to mold. Long, athletic, can run a little bit. I'm not sure if he's a plug-and-play guy, but I think there's a lot to like about him as you try to mold him into being a good corner.
So many names, and I'm sure that we probably left a couple more that we should have mentioned that will go in the top 50 of this draft. But for more on this draft class, stay tuned for more on Eagles Draft Central starting tomorrow night and taking us all the way through the end of draft weekend right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thanks, Fran and Greg, and we're going to look forward to all 22 segments all weekend long here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Dietz and Watson. So, Ike, let's take a look, an Eagles-centric look at the positions, probably, I wouldn't say the biggest need ones, but the ones that you would hope they'll address at some point this weekend. And we'll start at cornerback. The top guy coming back is Jalen Mills. They did have Patrick Robinson in free agency, but certainly cornerback has got to be at the top of the wish list for Eagles fans out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at this team, when you look at this defense, the one area you certainly want to improve upon for the 2017 season and moving forward is that cornerback position. I like Jalen Mills and what he was able to bring to the table as a seventh-round draft pick. Probably should have been a little higher last year, but I thought he showed some good signs of being a serviceable player. Now, not sure if he's ready to be a guy you would call your number one corner, but I certainly believe he's in the mix. But you need an infusion of youth at this position because, again, this isn't just about what's there for the 2017 season. It's for the big picture as well as they continue to try to build pieces to build this team to lead them to the championship.
Let's stay on defense and look at defensive end pass rusher in particular. The Eagles did sign Chris Long to replace Connor Barwin, but do the Eagles have enough firepower there with Brandon Graham coming off his outstanding season?
Well, any defensive coordinator would tell you, you never have enough pass rushes. The more fastballs you can throw at a quarterback, the better off your defense is going to be. But when I look at our defensive ends, it's not as high up on my list when I talk about concerns for the defense. Yes, I'm interested in seeing what Vinnie Curry is going to bring to the table. I believe he's going to get his first chance to be a starter, and I know he's excited about that. Brandon Graham, I'm looking for him to improve on what, in my mind, was a Pro Bowl season. Bringing in a veteran like Chris Long, who's another former first-round guy, that gives you veteran air. And then Marcus Smith. Could you possibly get something from Marcus Smith, who's a former first-round draft pick? Again, if the talent is there and it's too good to pass on in the draft, you certainly want to address that area. But I kind of like the guys that we got there right now, and I'm very interested in seeing what they do this year.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I still think, and this player was on your wish list, wide receiver could still be something the Eagles address. You wanted Corey Davis there, possibly at 14. Yes, you have Alshon, you have Torrey Smith, but are they long-term solutions? You want to have a guy to develop and grow with Carson Wentz as he reaches his peak. So I wouldn't be surprised to see wide receiver addressed in this draft, though.
No doubt about it, Chris. Again, sitting in a great position at 14 where you should have some good offensive players fall to you, and the wide receiver position can't be ignored. Yes, Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman went out and address this need this offseason, but more with short-term plans as of right now. And we don't know what the future is going to hold after this season. Getting Carson Wentz another weapon that he can develop with, if it's a Mike Williams, a Corey Davis, or even a John Ross, those are the caliber receivers that are game changers. I certainly wouldn't pass on one of those guys if the opportunity was there to get one.
All right, Ike, we're all focused on who the Eagles will select tomorrow night at number 14. But what about days 2 and 3 of the NFL draft? Who are some of the hidden gems? Ike and I will reveal some of ours up next.
New pass every month? That's old news. Switch to the reloadable, replaceable, reusable Septic Key. Visit iSeptiPhilly.com for info.
You feel better about the food on your table when you know the meat is sourced from family farmers and is spiced using handcrafted seasonings. That's why our family is proud to provide the variety you want at your deli, including no antibiotics ever and organic meats. This is what we were founded on. Because at Dietz & Watson, we've always believed in quality above all else.
With Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank, just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank.
Ta-ta tokens. The SEPTA-Key travel wallet is here. Visit iSEPTAPhilly.com to meet the less jingly way to pay.
Welcome back to the Eagles Draft Central Preview Show presented by Tito Watson. We're in the final block here as we get you ready for the first round, which takes place tomorrow night. But, Ike, we're going to go back in the time machine for a second. In 1998, you were the 142nd overall pick of the draft, a fifth-round selection. What do you remember about your draft day?
Well, I remember waiting around all day Saturday with my family and not getting that phone call and feeling a little disappointed, but I felt optimistic and hopeful for the next day. And this was back when it was only 2 days, so Saturday morning. Around 11:30, I got a phone call from my old college offensive line coach, Jim Bowman. He
really?
Was the tight end coach for the Eagles now. He was on the staff. And he was like, "Ike, it's Coach Bowman." And I'm like, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" And he says, "Coach Rose wants to talk to you." And then he puts Ray on the phone, and Ray says, "Listen, man, you ready to be an Eagle?" And I said, "Coach, I've been waiting for this moment all my life." And he said, "All right, we're going to go ahead and make the pick." And even though it was the 142nd pick, at that time I felt like I was the number one pick overall in the draft. So I tell people, it doesn't matter when you get drafted. That is a dream come true, and it's a day that you'll never forget.
Now, did you watch it on TV?
Yep, I watched it on TV, even though I was advised not to watch it. My agent told me to go out and sort of make sure you take your mind off of it so you're not as stressed out about it. But I've been watching the NFL draft since 1986 or 87, I believe. Hadn't missed one. And I certainly wasn't about to miss the one that I was a part of.
Did you see your name flash on the screen?
I did see my name flash on the screen, but I didn't see my highlights. That was probably more disappointing than anything. I didn't get to see my highlights when my name came up.
Well, Ike, you were a late-round gem, a phenomenal stash for the Philadelphia Eagles, key impact special teams player, helped out a linebacker, again, got the Eagles back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1980. Let's look at some potential day two and day three steals who could be had for the Eagles. Ike, I'll let you kick things off here. You're going to go cornerback on day two, and again, day two is rounds two and three. Cornerback Adoree Jackson from USC.
Yeah, and they talk about how deep the cornerback position is this year in the draft, and I really do believe that. And at 43, the Eagles are going to get a first-round caliber corner with that 43rd pick if that's where they choose to go. And I think a guy like Adoree Jackson, you're talking about last year the Jim Thorpe Award winner as the nation's best cornerback, and you're talking about a guy that is a dual threat. I love his ball playmaking skills that he has. Once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a threat to take it back to the house, as he is a punt returner and kickoff returner. So when you're getting a guy that plays the cornerback position, a guy like Adoree Jackson, it's not just that he's a cover guy, but if you need him in the special teams game, he's certainly a guy that you can select.
All right, I'm going to go offense for day two, and I'm looking at a wide receiver from Western Kentucky, Taywan Taylor. 98 catches as a senior. He had 34 touchdowns over the last 2 years combined. He's someone who can play on the outside. He can play in the slot. He is a deep threat. He has great run after the catch potential. Total package there for the Eagles. When you're trying to figure out who the number four receiver is in this draft class, you know you have Mike Williams, Corey Davis, John Ross at the very top in whatever order. Who is number four? Taywan Taylor has a strong case to be that number four guy, and he'd be a great fit for this Eagles there on day two. So we'll go back to defense because Ike loves his defense. And you figure on the last day, since you were a final day selection at linebacker, you're going to want to get a linebacker on the final day. Anthony Walker Jr. from Northwestern.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've gotten a chance to watch Anthony Walker Jr. pretty much his whole career, as I'm a Big Ten guy watching him in Northwestern. 2 years ago was his best season. I thought he had better talent around him. Jumped on the scene, 122 tackles, the MVP of that team, all Big Ten selection, Anthony Walker Jr. was. And I see a guy at 6'1", 240 pounds, who's a natural athlete. Former wide receiver in his background, packed on some weight. But unlike wide receivers, this guy loves contact. He doesn't mind running to the football. Again, he's a tackling machine. More plays behind the line of scrimmage from the linebacker position with 20 and a half sacks, tackles for losses in his junior year. I like Anthony Walker Jr. as a guy who just finds the football wherever it is.
3-year starter on Mike linebacker would be a great addition for the Eagles. You need to figure out those depth positions at linebacker. I'm going to go back to offense. I want to get a little championship pedigree here in the building as the Eagles try to get a Super Bowl. I'm looking at running back Wayne Gallman out of Clemson. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, was a phenomenal contributor to the team's championship run this past year. He's someone who can move all around the formation. He's not just an in-between the tackles runner. He can be moved to the outside, used as a receiver, is not afraid to pass block. He's a fluid runner, but has great size to him. I know that Clemson's offense was considered pretty much a Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams show, but Wayne Gallman made some key moments happen for that Tigers football team as they made their way to the championship. They got to the championship game 2 years ago, but they came back against Alabama and won it last year. So I would love to see Wayne Gallman, a jack of all trades, here in Midnight Green, if they're not able to get Christian McCaffrey, the guy top Ike's wish list there at number 14. So let's recap what we have coming up for you over the next couple of days. On Thursday, beginning at 7:30 p.m., we're going to be live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. You can also watch on the Eagles mobile app, which is a must download at this point. I'll be joined by Ross Tucker here in the studio. We're going to have everything covered soup to nuts. We will be live for the entire first round. Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider, will be embedded in the draft room. Alex Smith will be down the Ben Franklin Parkway. Fran Duffy and Greg Cosell, they will be in the other studio getting ready to do all 22 breakdowns. And we are going to completely analyze who the Eagles select, whether that's 14 or wherever it is in the first round. Ike is going to be back with me for days 2 and 3 of the draft, Friday and Saturday. And we're going to go live for about a half hour or so after each and every Eagles selection. So we're going to have exclusive interviews, highlights, all 22 analysis. Phenomenal coverage from here at the NovaCare Complex, as well as by the Art Museum where the draft is taking place. It is going to be an amazing weekend, and we hope that you'll share it with us. For Ike Reese, I'm Chris McPherson. You've been watching Eagles Draft Central, the preview show presented by Dieter Watson. We will see you for the first round tomorrow night.